Oh dear me. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Oh dear me thought for today. Oh dear me. So, I say to you, go around the world and tell everybody how wonderful they are. Tell everybody how great they are. Tell everybody the beautiful things that they're doing. And you soon run out of steam. But then, you have to write a resume. And you have to write in your resume about how wonderful you are. And you say, my goodness sakes, what should I say? Where do I begin? Well, naturally, with your birth, you know. You begin at the beginning. Now, I do not want to have pictures because the pictures change. A picture of you as a little baby is not as you are today. And a picture of you as an old bat is not as you are today. Even if you are an old bat today, it doesn't matter. But pictures are passé. Certificates. I don't want to know what certificates you got. Did you get an elementary school certificate? Did you get a good girl or good boy certificate in school? Did you get a bachelor's and master's or doctorates and so forth? What happens when you get certificates? You're going to have a test in school. And the teacher says you're going to have a test in mathematics. It's in multiplication and it's in the times area where you go 2 times 2 and 2 times 4, 2 times 8. So, the night before that, you were with your mother and your father and your sisters and your brothers, and you say, I've got to do good on that test tomorrow on multiplication. I've got to. And they say, why? 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 4 is 8, 2 times 8 is 16. Why do you have to do good on the test? And then they start giving you all these mathematical phrases, you know, that you're supposed to be learning. And you're not complaining about learning them as they're talking because you're saying, but I've got to learn. And you're not paying attention to the fact that you're learning and that you're being aware of it. And so they're saying, let's see, if you divide 8 by 2, what do you come up with? 2 going to 8 how many times? 2 4s or 8. So four times. 4 times would go into 8. So how much do you divide 8 by 2, and what's the answer? 4. Well, we're supposed to do only multiplication, not division, you know. Well, that's true too. But how many times can you put a 4 into a 12? You know? Can you have 4 4s into 12? What's 4 4s? Yeah, 16. She knows, see? 4 4s is 16. And you see, you play this game, and by the time the kid goes to school the next day, he is so natural, so natural with mathematics that, and with his multiplication tip, he's not fighting it any longer. It's just part of him. And he comes home from that school with his test. He said, look, Mom, look, I got 100. I got 100. 100%. I did perfect. And Mother said, well, I knew that. Didn't you know that? I knew that you were a perfect child. You're a perfect student. You're just fantastic. Come on, let's go down and have an ice cream. You know? Mm-hmm. And, oh, great, Mom. Can I have an ice cream each time I get a perfect test? I think it'd be worth it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every time we get a perfect test, we'll get an ice cream. And let's put it this way. If in 1 week you get a perfect test in more than one area, you'll get an ice cream for every perfect test you get. And at the end of the week, if you get more than one perfect test, we will 2 times that perfect test for ice creams that you get that day. So if you got 6 perfect tests, how many ice creams are you going to get? 12! See, motivation. And so all of a sudden, you're learning. Now, we have asked the people who attended our seminars whether they enjoyed them or not. And year after year, they come and attend the seminar. Year after year, they come and pay their money. Year after year, they come and rent a hotel and stay in it and give a week's time or, or more or less, to the seminar, and then they go home from the seminar, and they're all full of spit and vinegar, and they haven't learned a thing. Haven't learned a thing. Well, they haven't learned a thing because they're still in with the mechanics of the seminar. They're not in with the fun of 2 times 2 is 4. And so now, here it is, perhaps several years later, and we are contacting the seminar students that we had for the past 30 years, and we are asking them, please write a little paragraph or sentence on what you think the seminars of the University of Healing have done for you. What have the seminars contributed to your life? Well, now, it's quite interesting. We get a few remarks back where people are attending the seminar as workmen, you know, as employees, and their response is totally different from people who attend the seminar as participants. And people who attend the seminar as employees, they attend the seminar and they have the academic response to what the seminar is. They know what they're supposed to say, you know, because that's what the seminar was all about. But the people who are participants in the seminar, who really participate in life, like the child who was participating with his mother and father in mathematics and, you know, multiplication so he could do his test the next day, he did great. And we'll stop for a second here. I don't care about your certificates because you crammed for that certificate. You worked real hard the night before that certificate. Did you really learn it? Did you really learn mathematics? And perhaps you did, because that was the way your parents and you went about learning it and training in it. Now, back to the seminars. Now, in the seminars, people that we personally have noticed had made tremendous strides, and we don't say anything about it. We just notice it, and we say, that's nice. Now, after years of rebellion, of saying, I didn't learn anything, nothing happened there, and now all of a sudden they're starting to come to terms with themselves to realize that what happened was an inside job. What happened in the seminars was when they began to realize they were wonderful. They began to realize that they are beautiful. They began to realize that, well, I think the biggest thing that happens to people in the seminar is they get a bob job. They get a nose bob job. They get their nose bobbed. They get their nose cut off. They get their nose cut right off by themselves. And they're just filing away at it. They're taking their nose out of everybody else's business and having it only in their own. And they don't realize it's happening. You don't realize it's happening, you know. You're filing on your nails, and you're getting your nails all smooth and nice, and you check your nails, see if they're nice. You know, you do a little more, and you check, and you do a little more. And pretty soon, your nails are just as smooth as silk. And Ellen says, I don't want to use a clippers or a scissors on my nail because it leaves them with scraggly edges. I want to file them down smoothly, roundly, beautifully. Why? Because Ellen has a major fault. And her major fault is that she wants at all times, in all things, to be perfect. Now, she doesn't realize she can't do it. She doesn't realize there's no way she can be perfect. There's no way that she can improve on what she is. Why? She already is perfect. All of us are already perfect. What we are learning in the seminars are learning to look within ourselves and see that we are already perfect. I am my original purity and integrity. I don't want to be my original purity and integrity. I am it. It never left me. It's always in me, the original purity and integrity. I think ideal thoughts. I am my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am ideal, spirit, mind, and body. I am ideal, spirit. It's not what I want to make myself into. It's not what I want to polish myself into and create myself into. It's what I am, and I want to recognize that I am, to be aware of it, and when I'm aware of it, I'll do it fine. The little child who goes to school the next day after working with his parents on figures the night before doesn't realize it. He is aware of figures. He was always aware, but he wasn't aware that he was aware. And until you are aware that you are aware, you're not aware that you are aware, and you cannot enjoy being aware of what you're aware of. Mm-hmm. Now, you say, Herb, that's just a lot of silly stuff. Yes, it is, but that's what we do, don't we? Are we always aware? Sure. Do we pretend that we're not aware? Sure. And why do we pretend that we're not aware? Sylvia, Anita, just wrote us a little statement about what she felt about what seminars did for her. And she had the gall. She had the gall to say that the seminar is a filling station. And it has any type of fuel that we want. And that I am the catalyzer in the filling station. I'm the catalyzer. And, of course, she's right. Because a catalyzer does not become part of whatever it catalyzes. It remains a pure catalyzer, untouched by whatever goes through it and whatever it does. And whatever is catalyzed by the catalyzer, it doesn't change the catalyzer and doesn't take from or add to the catalyzer. The catalyzer is always the catalyzer. Look it up. It's an interesting word in the dictionary. But think about it. This is beautiful. She hit the nail on the head. Really, she hit the nail on the head. I should call it the school of the masters and their catalyzer. That would blow a few minds, wouldn't it? Now, what are you going to do? We have people who associate with the university. We have people from other countries. They want to send us their certificates and their approval. We have a lot of people in the United States who have taken courses at academic universities, and they say, well, I have an academic bachelor's and academic master's and academic doctor's. Don't I get credit for that at the University of Healing? And the answer is 100% no. We don't even care if you have that. We don't even care if you can spell. We don't even, Helen says, as Proctor, well, I wish they could spell. We don't really care if you can spell. If you can tell me that you are a billionaire and you can't spell, do you think I'm going to be concerned? Huh?
No.
If you can tell me that the little children just love to flock around you because you're such a lovable person, am I going to have to worry about how you spell love? If you're going to tell me that when you walk down the street, everybody looks at you and says, wow, what a neat person. Or if they don't even say that, if they just say, hey, something good happened here. I don't know what's going on. There's something beautiful in this world. It's like the sun coming up, you know. What happened? The sun came up. No, what happened? Sylvia's walking down the road. That's what happened. Well, is she stinking? Does she wear a perfume or something? No. That's her charisma. That's her charisma. Ellen walks into a room and everybody says, oh, Ellen's here. It's, how do you know? The room lightens up and there's a whole bunch of vibrations of happiness going on, you know? Yeah. And Ingeborg says, yeah, that's exactly true. What happens when you walk into a room, Ingeborg? You walk into a room and says, oh my goodness, here comes Miss Know-It-All, Miss Knowledge, Miss Wisdom, you know? And they say, Know-It-All? Yeah, well, she always knows it all. But everybody else knows it all, too. And she is encouraging people to know it all. And people say, well, that's not very nice. Well, Ellen's trying to get people to be a bubble. She doesn't really care if they are or not. And Sylvia, she's just a charismatic bit of magic that's just walking around. Right, Ingeborg? Isn't that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And isn't it wonderful?
Yes.
Now, so we don't really care whether you have certificates that show what you were. What is it that we want evidence of? What you are now. What you are now. I have a student who wrote me a very nice and charming bit of information. And then he said, like most of our students say, he said, this is a long way from where I was. I used to be a bad boy. I used to be a bad girl. I used to have bad habits. I used to drink and I used to smoke and I used to take drugs and I used to do all sorts of naughty things. Okay? Do you think that that interests me? If you go to the zoo and you pick up a rattlesnake and if someone says to you, that's a rattlesnake, and I say, yes, I know. And I also know that this rattlesnake is here in the zoo, and this rattlesnake does not have to protect itself, and so it is defanged. It doesn't have any fangs, so it cannot inculcate its poison into you. But also, the rattlesnake here in the zoo is among friends, and no one's trying to hurt it, so it doesn't have to defend itself. And so if you want to pick it up and cuddle it, it'll snuggle around you and you know, sort of wrap itself around your neck and around your arms and just say, you're so wonderful. But you see, the environment is different. Now, am I to worry about what the rattlesnake used to be? Or am I just concerned with what it is now? Mm-hmm. If you are still with your fangs and you're a rattlesnake, I'll say, I don't want you around me because you're... you're unpredictable. I don't know what you might do. Of course, if I know what I might do, then it would never do anything untoward. If you know who you are, you don't need any certificates. The more certificates a person has and tells you about, the more you are sure that he doesn't live what he believes. Or at least you don't know what he believes and what he lives. If you are a living example of purity and love and peace, you don't have to have a doctor in front of your name. If you walk into a room with a sick person and you have a little black bag and you walk into the room and you act knowledgeable, you act like, hey, let's see what we can do about this. Immediately the people think you're a doctor. They think you're an MD. Immediately they think you know what you're doing. Immediately they trust you. Well, now, the healing is almost certainly done at that moment. But immediately they believe you. Mm-hmm. Now, you go in there and you say, by the way, does anybody know who this black bag belongs to? And you say to yourself, you're not a doctor? No. Well, why are you treating me and helping me? Well, do I have to be a doctor to help you? Can I tell you I love you? And can you look at me? Did you think when I walked in this room that I was a doctor? Yep. Did you think I knew what I was doing? Yep. Did you feel better about it? Yep. Well, hey, see what you felt when you had all the wrong information and you thought it was right? See, but this is what makes the world go round. When we believe in ourselves, when we live according to ourselves. So I'm not concerned about any certification people have from anywhere else. If they have our certification, it merely says to me they have studied our courses and they know our philosophy. Now, I will ask you another question. And I want you to give me this question as a slap right in my face as quickly as you can. Does every student who graduates from the University of Healing, do they go out and teach only the University of Healing philosophy? Or do they go back to their old haunts and teach what they used to teach with the certificate that we gave them? All too often. All too often. And you know what the reason is? The old ways gave them satisfaction. The new certification makes them feel good in themselves. But the old ways are what they feel they have to deal with people. Do you know that 99 and 99 one hundredths, a lot, of all medical problems are in the mind, and those that are not in the mind are where you broke your leg. And that's in the mind too.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you broke your leg and you think that it's going to take you so long to heal because this is what the medical profession tells you, well, then that's what it's going to be. But if you break your leg and you say to yourself, oh boy, I got to get out of here. And so you heal yourself instantly. You, like a chameleon, you grow back your tail, but not right away. You leave your tail there and you get out of there. You help yourself. And then you grow your tail back later. Now you see, we're all like this. We're all like this. Do you want to live your life as an example of who you are or as an example of what you learned? And today you learn in medical science, for instance, eggs are bad for you. They cause cholesterol, they cause this, they cause that, they cause the other thing. And then tomorrow, the medical profession or scientific profession comes along and they say, eggs are high in protein, they're the ideal food, they're nature's natural food, they're the food that is eaten by the little beings that are being created as chicks in the egg, you know, and they're coming out of it just like the child in the egg. It's a universal concept, and it's all perfect food. And then you say to yourself, oh my goodness, well, why is it that the scientific community said it was bad? Because some person who had something bad said they ate an egg, and they blamed the egg for what was happening to them bad. And this is all too true. And the scientific community is changing every single day whatever opinions it has, depending upon the charisma, the enthusiasm of the scientist doing the research. Now, I'm not saying it's good, I'm not saying it's bad, I'm only saying that you can do your own research. And I say to you, join me as I say, I am whole and perfect. I am the pure white light of love. I am ideal, spirit, mind, and body. You see, when you say these things, what are you saying? You're saying the truth. I am my original purity and integrity. It's still there. Just because I put dust over it, just because I put ideas around it that say it isn't there, doesn't take it away, it's still there. Whoever you are, whatever your reality is, whatever your divine beingness is, it's not going to change because of circumstances. It'll appear to change. But if you get back on the wagon again, if you get back on course again with the idea of who you are, how perfect you are, and how wonderful you are, the other is completely gone. And isn't that a wonderful way to have it?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for that?
Yes.
So stop writing me resumes of your certificates of all your degrees and all of your organizations that you've come up through. I don't care. All I care about is, are you interested in this philosophy? If you're interested in this philosophy, then what?
Live it.
Live it.
I live it.
Live it.
And what happens when you live it?
I be it.
Life is wonderful. You go to a pastry school, and a pastry school is where you learn how to make pastry, cakes and pies and all sorts of sweet stuff. And you graduate from pastry school, top of the class. Oh, you are the greatest pastry chef in the world. You make the sweetest, most delicious, most desirable pastries one can imagine. And so you come home to your mom and you bring your certificate and say, Mom, look, I got a certificate. I graduated from pastry school. And your mom says, great. Go in the kitchen and whip up a pie for dinner or cake for dinner. Or your sister's having a birthday party tonight. Make a nice birthday cake for her. Mom, I haven't got time for that. Mom, I haven't got, I've got too many things to do. I'm busy. Mom, I, well, son, daughter, you're not a pastry chef. If you were a pastry chef and you had just graduated from pastry school, you'd be so full of spit and vinegar wanting to show me all of the things that you have done. You'd make a dozen pastries and put them on the table in front of me and say, Mom, try them. And I'd try a bite from each, and you'd say, you wouldn't expect me to eat more than a bite, because if I did, I couldn't eat all the rest. And so you'd say, well, what do you think of that? What do you think of that? What do you think? That's good. More. I got to rinse my mouth like a wine taster, you know. I got to get that taste out of my mouth so I taste the next piece of pastry. And do you need a certificate for that?
Uh-huh.
You see? So remember that. You're not getting a certificate on paper for what you have achieved in your heart and soul and being. You're getting it in your heart and soul and being, a revelation in your life and your experience. So this day, you're graduated. You never matriculated. You always were a graduate. You always were your original purity and integrity. Wow. Wouldn't that be something?
I did so.
The bad little child comes up to you and does some bad little thing, and you say, you bad little child, you got to learn how to be good. But instead, you're a wise parent or a wise person, and you say to the child, you're wonderful. You do everything so nice. You're such a super person. I'm so proud of you. And then go on and do something else, and the kid will say, they're nuts. They're crazy. And then the kid comes back, and you say again to the kid, you are so wonderful. You're so thoughtful. You're always doing nice things for people. It's just a joy to have you in my world. And then go off and not may say anything more. You did it two or three times, maybe four. And the kid will make a complete flip-flop. Mm-hmm. He won't know that he's making the flip-flop because you don't know he was any different than a nice kid. And he won't know that he's any different than a nice kid because you didn't respond to him as not a nice kid. If you respond to someone as not a nice kid, you are endorsing their not niceness. And if this is what you want to do, go for it. If you want to teach spiritual healing, if you want to teach wholeness, if you want to teach Bible lore or things like that, begin to learn what Jesus said. And stop going around teaching what you think Jesus said and teach what Jesus really said. What did he say? It's done unto you according to your belief. He said, you're a bunch of creeps, you guys, as he was talking to his disciples. He said, I've taught you 3 years now, and all you do is say, I can't do it. I can't do it. He says, I got to go so the Comforter can come and show you each one how to do it. Now, did all the disciples, with their diapers, did all the disciples, were they all weaned from Jesus and did they all go off and do wonderful things? No. Some of them did. But some of them said, oh, Jesus, where are you, Jesus? And they're the moaners and groaners who put Jesus on the cross, and they're the moaners and groaners who keep Jesus on the cross. And the disciples who put to work what he said, it's not what goes into the mouth, what comes out, it's you, it's what you're thinking, doing, being. Those are the masters. And they're just living it. And you see them like a gospel breath, gospel wing that's just floating by on the breeze, and you say, oh, there it goes, there's the master. And that was a glimpse you had for a moment of yourself. And when you start listening within, you find that you're there all the time, and you're very nice, and you're very wonderful, and you will never graduate because you never matriculated. You never started school. You cannot graduate from something you haven't matriculated in. But you see, you're always whole and perfect. You're always your original.
Your integrity.
I like the way Ingeborg sits here so pontifically, nodding her head. Yes, that's correct. That's correct. You got to say it for the camera, you know. But this is the important thing. Be who you are. Love who you are. And don't aspire after certificates and proof of who you are. Let the world know it. I can assure you, Jesus had no certification, even though he was a rabbi. And as a rabbi, he wasn't trying to show that off because they didn't like that either. You know? Interesting. I wonder where the Buddha went to school. You know, where Lao Tse went to school. I wonder where Moses went to school.
Inside.
Yes, that's true. Inside. Inside. So, think on these things. And remember, the next time you bring your file folder filled with certificates showing me all the schools that you went to and all the things that you've done. You know, Ellen has a niece, a granddaughter rather, and the granddaughter is Michaela, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Michaela is such a person. Michaela wanted to prove herself so she can go on to the next level of education. But Michaela has a problem. She does not know how to do anything but be her best at all times. And so what did she do? She got top grades in all her courses. She did her courses while she was doing all sorts of other things, and she got top grades. Top grades. Now, why did she get top grades? Because that's how she thinks of herself. Now, is a certificate going to show that? It'll say top. But does that mean anything? A lot of kids get top grades, but do they turn it out? As Harry Truman, President of the United States at one time, he said, the world is run by C students, by the average student, because they're the ones that get inspired. They're the ones that do things. The intellectual students, not that there's something wrong with it, but the intellectual students are ones who know the subject and are stuck at it. They are not free to expand it and be something utterly fantastic about it. And if you're an A student, don't worry about it. you can have fun too. So, have a lovely day. And know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Love you.